The real story behind long-term financial markets is completely different than what many believe. As we explore this topic, you'll uncover valuable insights that can transform your financial strategies. Prepare to learn key concepts and practical applications that are crucial for navigating these markets. Let's dive into an exciting journey of financial discovery. This lesson will help you understand the strategic importance of business financing by distinguishing between long-term and short-term options. You'll learn to analyze long-term financing methods, evaluating equity, bonds, and capital notes. We'll compare financial market structures, identifying their mechanisms with real-world examples. Additionally, you'll examine the roles of financial intermediaries and their impact on risk and liquidity. Finally, we will discuss modern trends in financial markets and their implications for operations and fundraising. Understanding financing is crucial because it funds assets, operations, and growth. We need to distinguish between long horizons for stability and short horizons for agility in our financial planning. It's vital to align funding sources with asset life, using long-term funds for durable assets and short-term for working capital. Additionally, consider whether to utilize internal retained earnings or seek external capital to address any funding gaps. Lastly, synchronizing repayments with cash inflows is essential to avoid liquidity stress. Understanding financing is essential as it empowers firms to invest in equipment, expand operations, and engage in research and development. This supports their growth and enhances their capabilities. Long-term financing is critical for assets and expansion, providing greater stability despite higher costs. In contrast, short-term financing addresses immediate cash flow needs like inventory and payroll, though it carries renewal risks. Internal sources such as retained earnings reduce reliance on external funding and manage financing risks. However, external funding complements internal resources and is necessary to bridge gaps in financing, tailored to match the timing of cash flows and asset life. Understanding the concept of financing is vital for effective management. Financing is categorized into two main sources, internal and external, chosen based on asset life and cash flow requirements. Internal sources, like retained earnings, keep costs low and maintain control. On the other hand, external sources, such as loans, provide scalable options but may risk ownership dilution. A crucial aspect is matching financing to asset needs. Long-term assets require long-term funds. Finally, align timing and cash flow schedules to prevent liquidity challenges. Long-term financing is essential for strategic growth. It allows companies to acquire productive assets, enhancing their capacity and efficiency. Such investments yield benefits over many years. This type of financing also supports funding for research and development, enabling continuous innovation and new product launches. Additionally, it strengthens cash flow resilience, helping businesses weather revenue fluctuations. Finally, long-term financing facilitates expansion and mergers, driving geographic growth and integration for success. Equity financing plays a crucial role in capital markets by allowing companies to raise funds through the issuance of common or preferred stock, easing cash flow strain. This method eliminates the need for principal or interest repayments, which reinforces the company's balance sheet by minimizing leverage. However, it's important to note that equity financing comes with trade-offs, particularly a higher cost than debt due to non-tax deductible dividends, as well as potential dilution of control for existing shareholders. A notable example is Reliance Industries, which successfully financed its expansion into telecom and retail in India by utilizing equity offerings. This strategic approach highlights how equity financing can facilitate growth while balancing financial flexibility and control. As we explore the comparative analysis of corporate bonds and capital notes, it's essential to recognize their distinct purposes. Corporate bonds primarily raise capital for projects and operations. In contrast, capital notes focus on restructuring with a debt-to-equity approach. When examining their nature, Corporate bonds represent long-term debt with a set maturity, while capital notes are more like convertible instruments without an expiry. Corporate bonds often feature embedded options like callable and convertibility to equity. Conversely, capital notes typically convert during restructuring milestones. Lastly, while corporate bonds guarantee coupons and principal repayment, capital notes present uncertain future equity for investors. Understanding financial market structures is essential. First, we have the auction market, where orders converge centrally through brokers, exemplified by the New York Stock Exchange. Next, the over-the-counter market is decentralized, with dealers providing quotes. The National Stock Exchange's derivatives showcase this model. Organized exchanges operate as central venues, with specialists acting as broker-dealers, like the Bombay Stock Exchange. Lastly, intermediation markets, where banks channel savers, funds into business loans, demonstrate the flow of capital in our economy. Each structure plays a unique role in facilitating trading and financing. OTC markets offer significant flexibility through customizable contracts and quotes, such as forwards. This flexibility allows traders to tailor their agreements for specific needs. Furthermore, these markets provide global reach, facilitating cross-border trading in foreign exchange and derivatives. However, this landscape is not without challenges. The lighter regulatory oversight can heighten the risk of fraud and defaults. Additionally, liquidity issues may arise where thin trading results in wider spreads and increased volatility. Understanding how financial intermediation works is essential. First, intermediaries issue financial claims to savers while extending assets to borrowers. Next, these issued claims transform into liabilities on the intermediary's balance sheet, with the borrowed assets recorded as assets on the borrower's side. Additionally, one contract exists with savers while another links to borrowers, creating a unique two-sided issuance. Finally, this setup facilitates the conversion of savings into claims, with those proceeds effectively deployed to borrowers through the intermediary. Now that we understand the essential functions of financial intermediation, let's delve deeper into the roles they play. First, intermediaries channel deposits to borrowers, aligning the needs of savers with the funding requirements of borrowers. Next, they engage in risk transformation by pooling many deposits, diversifying loans to mitigate individual risks. They also excel in liquidity management, providing liquid deposits while financing long-term loans. In practice, this involves matching short-term liabilities with long-term assets through prudent balance sheet management. A prime example is the State Bank of India, which accepts public deposits and extends loans for housing and infrastructure projects throughout India. As we transition to discussing modern financial trends, it's crucial to understand how digitization and artificial intelligence are reshaping our landscape. These technologies enhance transparency, reduce costs, and help curtail fraud. An excellent example is ICICI's application of AI for fraud detection and risk management. Next, sustainable financing emerges as a vital consideration, with green bonds and ESG-linked loans driving impactful investments. The State Bank of India, for instance, issued green bonds to support renewable energy projects. Finally, globalization further integrates markets, improving cross-border access and liquidity, as seen when Indian firms raise capital through global depository receipts. These trends collectively illustrate how innovation is driving a more adaptive and inclusive financial market. Equities and bonds serve as the traditional core assets, laying the foundation for a well-rounded investment portfolio. Expanding your strategy involves a broader opportunity set that includes cash equivalents, real estate, commodities, and crypto, enhancing diversification. The impact of digitization and AI has transformed trading, streamlining processes, and reducing costs. In addition, there's a growing momentum for sustainable financing, with ESG initiatives guiding capital towards responsible investments. Lastly, globalization has opened up cross-border investing, allowing issuers to access new markets and funding sources. To effectively harness the potential of bonds and equities, we start with their accessibility. Investors can begin with modest amounts, such as TCS shares or a government bond priced around 1,000 rupees. Furthermore, the diverse options available allow for tailored investments across various sectors, like IT, pharmaceuticals and energy. Liquidity is another significant advantage, enabling quick trades, exemplified by how Reliance shares can be sold within seconds on exchanges. Lastly, transparency is ensured with frequent regulated price updates, allowing investors to access minute-by-minute quotes on platforms like the Bombay Stock Exchange. Understanding bond investments is essential for savvy financial planning. Bonds involve lending your money to a government or corporation who will repay you with interest and principal. These investments typically offer fixed income through periodic coupons, plus the return of principal at maturity. They also provide flexibility with various maturities and risk levels, allowing you to choose between safe options like treasury bills and higher yield corporate bonds. On the safety spectrum, government bonds usually have lower risk and yield compared to corporate bonds, which carry higher risk and yield potential. Lastly, many bonds can be traded before maturity, enhancing liquidity for investors through platforms like RBI Retail Direct. Understanding bond risks is fundamental for informed investing. First, credit risk or default risk arises when an issuer may not fulfill interest or principal payments, compelling investors to seek higher yields for the added uncertainty. Next, consider junk bonds. These high-yield bonds attract investors with bigger coupons, despite their elevated chances of default. Then, we encounter interest rate risk, which involves bond prices decreasing as market interest rates climb, particularly affecting longer-duration bonds more severely. For instance, if market yields rise from 7% to 8%, existing bonds must lower their prices to remain competitive. Recognizing these interconnected risks can significantly influence your investment strategies in the bond market. Now that we've uncovered bond risks, let's shift our focus to equity investments. Equity represents ownership in a company, starting with partial ownership through shares. This ownership grants shareholders a proportional claim on both profits and losses. Additionally, equity holders enjoy voting rights on key corporate matters, influencing the direction of the company. Finally, they have a residual claim on assets after all obligations are met, reiterating the essence of true ownership. Understanding these fundamentals is vital for any aspiring investor. Equity returns can be derived primarily from two sources. First, there are capital gains which occur when the selling price is higher than what you paid. For instance, buying Infosys at 1,000 rupees and selling at 1,500 yields a 500 rupee profit per share. Next, dividends represent cash disbursements made to shareholders from company profits. ITC is notable for its consistent dividend payments. Together, these sources contribute to total equity return, as it combines both the price change and the dividends received during the investment period. Understanding these elements is essential for assessing the overall performance of your investments. Now let's explore some interesting facts about equities and their long-term financial market impact. Equities encompass high risk but also high reward, as they tend to fluctuate more than bonds while delivering superior long-term returns. For example, the Nifty 50 has achieved an impressive compound annual growth rate of about 15% over the last decade, showcasing equities' potential. Long-term compounding plays a crucial role in wealth accumulation, as reinvested gains can snowball significantly over time. A notable illustration of this is holding HDFC Bank stock since its 1995 IPO, which would have resulted in substantial wealth through the power of compounding. Understanding these concepts can significantly enhance your investment strategy and financial growth. Equity risk is multifaceted, with two primary sources to consider. First, we have market volatility, which can be influenced by factors like investor sentiment, macroeconomic data, policy changes, and unexpected global events. For instance, in 2023, Adani Enterprises faced significant price fluctuations due to external allegations and changes in market sentiment. On the other hand, Company-specific risk arises from internal challenges, such as poor management decisions or financial instability. A clear example is the Jet Airways collapse, where financial mismanagement led to a dramatic drop in share price. Understanding these two types of risk is essential for effective investment strategies. Asset allocation strategies can significantly influence investment success. A conservative profile typically consists of 50% bonds, 40% cash, and 10% equities, aiming to preserve capital and generate steady income. Equities here play a limited growth role, focusing on dividends. In contrast, an aggressive profile has 70% equities, 20% bonds, and 10% cash, targeting maximum long-term growth. This strategy capitalizes on high growth potential, but comes with substantial market volatility risks. Understanding these allocations helps investors align portfolios with their goals. As we delve into pooled investment options, let's first consider mutual funds. These are professionally managed portfolios that often combine stocks and bonds, providing diversity and oversight, as seen in the ICICI Prudential Balanced Advantage Fund. Next, we turn our attention to exchange-traded funds, or ETFs. These low-cost options track various indices or commodities, such as the Nippon India ETF Gold BES, which offers exposure to gold. Finally, think about how these instruments fit into your strategy. Mutual funds are great for straightforward allocation, while ETFs allow for targeted cost-efficient exposure in your investments. Understanding modern trends in equity and bond investing is essential. ESG momentum is gaining traction, as seen with SBI's ESG fund, which emphasizes values-aligned investing, but be cautious of potential greenwashing and sector concentration risks. Tech-enabled access through robo-advisors and AI tools is reducing costs. For instance, Zerodha Coin simplifies mutual funds, albeit introducing platform and algorithm risks. Global diversification is key, allowing exposure to US stocks like Tesla and Microsoft via platforms like Vested, while still facing currency and regulatory risks. Additionally, geopolitics dramatically influence markets. The Russia-Ukraine conflict in 2022 notably impacted bond yields and equities, leading to increased volatility. Lastly, strategic asset allocation blends equities and bonds, crucial for balancing growth and stability, while regularly re-evaluating in response to evolving trends and risks. Understanding the choices between equity and bond financing is crucial for any business. Companies can choose between equity, which involves selling ownership, or bonds representing borrowed funds. Equity financing allows capital without fixed repayments, but it does lead to dilution and market volatility risks. On the other hand, bond financing requires regular coupon payments and carries interest rate and credit risks. Investors view equities as growth opportunities, while bonds provide income and stability, guiding asset allocation choices. Each option fits different business models. Equity suits growth-focused firms, whereas bonds favor those with stable cash flows. Equity financing plays a vital role in a business's growth strategy. First, it allows share buyers to become part owners, sharing in the company's profits, such as seen in Zomato's 2021 IPO. Furthermore, there's no repayment obligation, meaning that businesses can focus their cash flow on growth opportunities instead of fixed payments. Investors are typically attracted by the potential for high returns generated through both price appreciation and dividends. A relevant example is TCS, which has consistently rewarded its investors with capital gains alongside dividends. This blend of ownership, reinvestment, and return potential makes equity financing a powerful option for funding. Equity financing brings about significant risks, primarily market risk. Share prices can fluctuate wildly based on market sentiment and company performance. For example, even a strong company like Infosys can see its stock price decline during a tech downturn. Additionally, issuing new shares leads to dilution of ownership for existing shareholders. This means their percentage stake in the company decreases, impacting their influence. Consequently, dilution can weaken voting power and reduce decision-making authority within the firm. As we delve into the advantages of equity financing, we see how it alleviates financial pressure. Unlike traditional loans, there are no fixed interest or principal payments, allowing for better cash flow management. This flexibility lets businesses direct cash to critical operations instead of servicing debt. Moreover, equity financing shifts the focus toward long-term growth, enabling investments in research and development. In times of economic downturns, the lack of fixed obligations helps firms maintain their operational runway. This strategic approach not only fosters innovation, but also enhances resilience. Navigating the realm of equity financing reveals significant operational challenges. Regulatory compliance and the necessary disclosures can lead to increased administrative costs. Additionally, the demand for frequent reporting cycles can take valuable leadership time away from core business operations. This constant need for transparency adds pressure, as shareholders expect consistent returns. Ultimately, these factors shape management decisions in profound ways, creating a complex environment to maneuver. Bond financing is an essential financial tool, where an issuer borrows capital now, agreeing to pay periodic coupons and repay the principal at maturity. For investors, this translates to predictable income, such as a bond with a 7% annual return, ensuring steady cash flow. Each bond has a defined maturity period, allowing for clarity on when the principal will be returned, like Tata Steel's bond maturing in 2025. Issuers benefit as well, since the interest paid on these bonds is tax deductible, reducing their overall tax liability. Ultimately, a known payment schedule provides valuable cash flow visibility, aiding financial planning for both issuers and investors. Understanding bond financing risks is critical for investors. First, there's the context. Higher perceived risk drives up borrowing costs, leading issuers to offer higher yields. Next is interest rate risk. When market rates rise, the prices of existing bonds decline. For example, a bond with a 6% coupon can lose value if new bonds yield 7%. Additionally, credit risk arises when issuer stress could result in missed interest or principal payments. High-yield bonds are notably riskier than government securities, reflecting this increased credit risk. Bond financing offers significant advantages for companies. First, it leads to no ownership dilution, as bondholders are creditors and do not gain ownership rights. This means that founders and management can retain control and voting power in the company. Additionally, predictable repayments with fixed coupons and maturity timelines allow for better financial planning. Having clear cash outflow planning creates budgeting certainty, enhancing forecasts. This financing method is especially beneficial for control-focused firms that prioritize governance stability. Bond financing presents unique challenges that companies must navigate. First, mandatory interest payments must be made, putting pressure on cash flow even during downturns. This creates a cash flow squeeze that can hinder daily operations and growth. Additionally, higher leverage can increase the likelihood of default, which is a real concern for many firms. Finally, companies often have a thin buffer, meaning that small revenue dips can quickly trigger financial distress. Understanding these challenges is vital for effective financial management. When we look at equity versus bond financing, ownership is a key distinction. With equity financing, investors become part owners of the company, sharing in its growth. In contrast, bond financing means investors are creditors, not owners, which changes the financial dynamics. The repayment obligation also varies. Equity has no repayment of principal or interest, while bonds come with a fixed repayment schedule. Furthermore, equity carries higher market risk and volatility for investors, whereas bonds offer lower risk with more predictable returns. Finally, consider the cost to companies. Equity financing is often higher due to complex requirements, while bond financing's interest can be tax deductible, making it a potentially cheaper option. Capital structure is influenced by several key factors. First, industry characteristics matter. Capital-intensive sectors like infrastructure often favor debt, as seen with Larsen and Toubro funding projects through long-term bonds. Next, consider the growth stage. Early-stage firms, such as Flipkart, prefer equity to maintain flexibility and avoid fixed debt payments. Finally, tax considerations play a crucial role. Higher corporate tax brackets enhance the appeal of debt due to its tax shield, reducing the after-tax cost of capital. Understanding these aspects helps in navigating the complexities of capital structure. As we explore modern financing trends, it's fascinating to note that ESG green bonds are making a significant impact by funding renewable projects, with HDFC Bank as a prominent issuer. Additionally, digital platforms like the NSE debt segment are enhancing access for retail investors, democratizing bond participation. Also noteworthy, fractional share trading allows smaller investors to own pieces of high-value companies like Alphabet and Amazon. Hybrid convertible bonds represent an innovative blend of fixed interest and potential equity conversion, providing flexibility. Ultimately, these trends converge around key themes such as sustainability, technology-driven access, and increased inclusion in financial markets. Exploring the world of cross-border debt reveals two fundamental categories: foreign bonds and eurobonds. Foreign bonds enable companies to engage with investors in another nation, leveraging local currency. In contrast, eurobonds are issued outside any domestic market, appealing to a global investor base. Issuers of these bonds are motivated to broaden funding avenues, optimize costs, and enjoy flexible structures. Investors are drawn to these opportunities for the diversification they offer across various borders and sectors. Foreign bonds play a vital role in global finance. A foreign bond is issued by a non-domestic borrower in the local currency of the host market. This means these bonds are placed directly in the local market, targeting domestic investors. Compliance with local regulations is essential, as seen with samurai bonds in Japan. For instance, when a Canadian issuer sells bonds in the US, they are treated similarly to domestic US bonds. Lastly, issuing in the local currency mitigates currency risks for investors, allowing them to focus on credit and interest rates. Foreign bonds offer significant advantages that enhance investment strategies. First, they provide international diversification for investors, allowing exposure to overseas markets and currencies to reduce reliance on the home market. Next, issuers benefit by accessing a broader investor base, tapping into local demand in foreign markets to improve placement potential. This expanded reach creates greater flexibility in fundraising across various geographies. Together, these factors position foreign bonds as a strategic element in both investment and capital raising frameworks. Understanding the key risks in foreign bonds is essential for investors. First, the regulatory compliance burden can be complex and costly, requiring adherence to various foreign disclosure and reporting rules. Next, political and economic instability can pose significant threats, as policy shocks and recessions may disrupt payments and affect pricing. A concrete example is Venezuela, where economic collapse led to severe losses for investors in its sovereign bonds. Recognizing these risks allows investors to make informed decisions in their investment strategies. Let's explore the core characteristics of eurobonds. First, these financial instruments are typically issued in foreign currencies, often in US dollars or euros. For example, Procter & Gamble issued a US dollar bond in Germany, highlighting this practice. Next, eurobonds are placed outside the issuer's domestic market, offering unique opportunities to investors. They generally take the bearer form, which means they provide limited reporting and uphold anonymity. Importantly, eurobonds usually enjoy no withholding tax on the interest paid. Ultimately, these features enable eurobonds to represent over 80% of the international bond market. Understanding eurobonds reveals their significant benefits for issuers and investors. First, they often feature a lower cost of debt due to reduced legal and compliance expenses. This efficiency makes them attractive for organizations seeking to optimize funding. Additionally, the bearer form of eurobonds allows for investor anonymity, facilitating discrete ownership and transfers. Another key advantage is the faster issuance process, enabling quick access to the market without rigid registrations. These attributes empower issuers to respond swiftly to market demands. As we dive into the challenges associated with Eurobonds and foreign currency bonds, it's essential to understand the risks involved. Exchange rate exposure poses a significant threat, as fluctuations can negate potential gains from coupons and price increases. For instance, a US investor holding a Eurobond faces losses if the euro depreciates against the dollar. Furthermore, there's limited legal protection in comparison to domestic bonds during default situations, making recovery efforts more complex. Additionally, cross-border uncertainty can hinder jurisdiction and enforcement, delaying or diminishing recovery rates. Each of these factors illustrates the intricate risks that investors must navigate in the Eurobond market. Understanding international bond instruments is crucial for investors. Let's start with the straight fixed-rate bond. A debt with a fixed maturity and a constant coupon. This instrument provides predictable cash flows, but exposes investors to interest rate risk, as seen with Nestlé's fixed rate Eurobond. Next, we have the floating rate note, tied to a benchmark with coupons that reset to LIBOR. This offers rate protection during rising interest rates, but introduces coupon uncertainty and basis risk, illustrated by an FRN, linked to quarterly 6-month LIBOR. Lastly, convertible bonds combine debt with the option to convert into equity, typically offering a lower fixed coupon, but providing upside potential, such as with Tesla's convertible bonds. However, they also carry risks of dilution and sensitivity to equity performance. Building on our exploration of international bond instruments, let's delve into some key examples. First, we have zero-coupon bonds, which are issued at a discount with no ongoing interest payments, returning the full face value at maturity, such as stripped US Treasury bonds. Next, consider dual-currency bonds. These offer coupons in one currency, while the principal is paid back in another, often providing favorable exchange rates, like interest in yen and principal in US dollars. Lastly, bonds with equity warrants combine a regular bond with the option to buy equity at a predetermined price within a specific time frame, exemplified by European corporate bonds with attached equity warrants. Each of these instruments illustrates the diverse strategies available to investors in the international bond market. Issuing international bonds involves several key players. First, the lead manager is appointed by the issuer to guide the structuring, pricing, and underwriting of the bond deal. Next, an underwriting syndicate, composed of multiple banks, commits capital to purchase the bonds at a discount, seeking to profit from resale. A selling group then broadens distribution by connecting with various investors and sharing in the profits. As an example, Infosys engages an international syndicate to manage and sell Eurobonds, showcasing a collaboratively structured bond issuance process across European markets. Foreign bonds play a crucial role in enhancing portfolio diversification. They allow exposure to multiple economies, significantly reducing overall risk. Investors can tap into higher growth potential found in rapidly expanding markets. Additionally, international bonds help in risk mitigation, as gains abroad can offset domestic losses. For example, Asian markets can offer stability during times of volatility in the US market. This strategic allocation is essential for a balanced investment approach. As we explore multi-currency bonds, we begin by defining them as bonds that have payments in various currencies, aligning with global cash flows. Multinational issuers primarily use these instruments as they seek flexible funding options while naturally hedging their currency risks. For investors, these bonds offer an appealing way to diversify currency exposure and sources of returns. They are significant for entering international markets and aligning financing with regional revenue streams. Moving forward, we will delve into the features, types, and strategic uses of multi-currency bonds. Multi-currency bonds offer a unique dual-currency structure where interest and principal payments occur in different currencies. This setup is particularly advantageous for companies with revenue in multiple currencies, improving their flexibility in managing these payments. The interest rate on these bonds can be fixed or floating, often linked to benchmarks that adjust with market conditions. Generally, these bonds have a fixed maturity, although perpetual options are also available. Interestingly, while most repayments are made as a single lump sum, some structures allow for installment repayments, although this approach is less common. Multi-currency bonds are fascinating instruments, and today, we'll explore their core types and rate structures. Fixed interest bonds offer a stable coupon throughout their life, providing predictable income for conservative investors. On the other hand, floating rate notes adjust their coupons to align with market rates, such as LIBOR plus a set spread. We also encounter reverse floaters, which decrease coupon payments when market rates rise, presenting unique risks and rewards. Step-up and step-down bonds alter coupon rates at specified intervals, following a structured approach. Lastly, zero-coupon bonds offer no periodic interest but are sold at a discount, accumulating value until maturity. Understanding how to classify multi-currency bonds is essential for effective portfolio management. The first category is available for sale, where bonds are measured at fair value after initial recognition, often using swap curve discounting. This approach indicates a longer-term holding intent without trading. Unrealized gains or losses from this classification impact equity rather than profit and loss. Next, we have held for trading, valued at fair value for active trading, aimed at short-term profit, affecting the profit and loss directly. Finally, while rare for multi-currency bonds, held to maturity bonds use amortized cost with effective interest rates, primarily associated with insurers holding premium reserves. Strategic use of multi-currency bonds emphasizes their real-world applications. First, diversifying funding across markets allows firms to raise capital where interest rates are more favorable or liquidity is high, reducing borrowing friction. A prime example is Infosys, which issues multi-currency bonds and finances operations in Europe and North America, reaching a wider investor base. Next, hedging currency risk is crucial. Aligning bond currency with revenue streams minimizes foreign exchange mismatch. For instance, a euro exporter issues euro-denominated bonds to stabilize cash flows, effectively covering their obligations in the same currency. The currency sandwich is a strategic financial tactic that exploits interest rate disparities between currencies. First, investors raise funds by borrowing in a currency with lower interest rates. Next, they convert these funds into a target currency that offers higher yields. Then they invest in assets that provide returns exceeding the cost of borrowing. The potential for gains remains as long as the interest rate differential is greater than any adverse currency movement. Engaging in this strategy requires careful monitoring and disciplined execution. Understanding the risks in multi-currency bonds is essential. First, we leverage low-rate funding to invest in higher-yield bonds across different currencies. This creates a financial mechanism where we borrow in a low-yield currency to capitalize on greater yields elsewhere. However, if the currency used for funding appreciates, repayment costs rise, reducing potential returns. Furthermore, macroeconomic shifts can lead to significant volatility, increasing the risk of losses. For instance, borrowing Japanese yen at 1% to invest in Indian government bonds can turn unprofitable if the yen appreciates against the rupee. Modern trends in multi-currency bonds highlight exciting developments. The World Bank is spearheading a multi-currency green momentum, funding global renewable projects across various currencies. Blockchain technology is also making waves. HSBC has executed a blockchain-based bond that reduces friction in the issuance process. Investors are increasingly driven by ESG factors, prioritizing bonds that align with ethical standards. Additionally, perpetual bonds offer remarkable flexibility with no fixed maturity, catering to long-term capital planning needs. For instance, ICICI Bank utilizes perpetuals to enhance its capital reserves and operational flexibility. Bank financing serves as a crucial engine for economic development, mobilizing savings and channeling credit to foster growth and stability. Its deep reach into rural areas plays a vital role in poverty reduction, agricultural diversification, and providing financial access. However, the prevalence of non-performing assets poses a key challenge, straining asset quality and limiting new lending opportunities. Additionally, inefficiencies and gaps in lending practices can diminish impact and scalability. To navigate these challenges, advanced instruments like parallel loans, back-to-back loans, and swaps emerge as essential tools to optimize risk and enhance execution. Understanding these instruments is imperative for addressing the needs of the evolving financial landscape. In the world of bank financing, parallel loans present an innovative mechanism. Initially, two multinational corporations agree on crucial terms such as amounts, tenors, interest rates, and a set future exchange rate. Each corporation then lends in its home currency directly to the other's local subsidiary, effectively serving domestic needs. This arrangement allows subsidiaries to avoid direct foreign borrowing. At maturity, the loans are repaid domestically, with principals offset using the predetermined exchange rate. For example, IBM lends dollars to Siemens USA, while Siemens provides euros to IBM Germany, culminating in a seamless reversal of funds. Let's explore back-to-back loans, where two companies engage in a direct currency exchange. In this arrangement, each firm swaps equal value funds in different currencies, securing an agreement to reverse the transaction later. Unlike parallel loans that involve multiple entities, back-to-back loans only require the participation of the two companies. For instance, in the IBM Olivetti case, IBM borrows dollars and lends them to Olivetti, while Olivetti borrows euros concurrently and lends them to IBM. Such a mechanism allows both firms to leverage their borrowing advantages, ultimately reducing their financing costs. The drawbacks of parallel and back-to-back loans present significant challenges. Difficulty matching counterparties often arises, as finding mirrored needs in currency, interest basis, and tenors is rare and time-consuming. Moreover, default risk persists. If one firm fails, the other must still honor its loan terms, creating additional pressure. Accounting complexity amplifies these issues, as on-book loans can inflate leverage metrics and constrain borrowing capacity. Understanding these limitations is crucial for evaluating the viability of such lending structures. Swaps effectively tackle the issues faced by parallel and back-to-back loans. First, the problem of matching parties is resolved by swap brokers, who skillfully find and align counterparties. Next, offset agreements minimize exposure to counterparty defaults through netting and offsets. Additionally, swaps can be structured as derivatives, allowing for off-balance sheet treatment and easing regulatory concerns. The result is a host of advantages, including faster execution, tailored terms, and enhanced risk management. Understanding the roles of swap banks, brokers, and dealers is pivotal in the financial market. Swap banks facilitate swap agreements, earning bid-ask spreads, while acting as either brokers or dealers. Meanwhile, swap brokers focus solely on matching counterparties, taking no risk, and earning a commission for their services. In contrast, swap dealers quote two-way prices, taking positions and risks as they earn the spread. Each of these roles contributes uniquely to the functionality and efficiency of the swap market. Bank financing through swap instruments creates strategic opportunities in global finance. A swap is essentially a contract that allows counterparties to exchange cash flows over time, enhancing liquidity management. Among the simplest types is the plain vanilla swap, which involves basic payment exchanges tied to an underlying benchmark. More specifically, an interest rate swap permits one party to exchange fixed rate payments for floating rate ones, thereby adjusting their interest exposure. Another key form, a currency swap, involves exchanging both principal and interest payments in different currencies to align with financial obligations. Lastly, swaptions, caps, floors, and collars provide options to engage in swaps and manage interest rate risks effectively within set boundaries. Understanding credit default swaps, or CDS, is essential in managing financial risk. A credit swap is a contract where a bank assumes a firm's credit risk in exchange for periodic premiums. This arrangement involves the firm paying a quarterly spread, while the bank promises protection against specific credit events. If a default occurs, the bank compensates the firm for losses, either in cash or through physical settlement. For instance, HDFC Bank offers CDS to safeguard an Indian firm's bond holding against issuer default risks. While these swaps help hedge credit exposure, it's crucial to remain aware of counterparty risks, basis risks, and liquidity challenges. As we explore the world of credit swaps, it's essential to understand standard credit events. First, we have bankruptcy, which occurs when a corporate entity cannot meet its financial obligations and initiates formal bankruptcy proceedings. Next is failure to pay, where a reference entity defaults by missing interest or principal payments. Lastly, debt restructuring happens when the terms of debt are renegotiated due to financial difficulties, often altering maturity dates, interest rates, or the principal amount. These concepts define critical thresholds for invoking protections in credit default swaps. Understanding these terms enhances our grasp of credit risk management. Understanding bank financing is crucial, especially when comparing parallel loans and credit swaps. In parallel loans, two firms engage in borrowing, facilitating currency needs, without the risks of cross-border transactions. In contrast, a firm and a bank partake in credit swaps to effectively hedge credit risk. The complexity of parallel loans arises from requiring matching counterparties, making execution more challenging. Conversely, credit swaps simplify the process, allowing banks to streamline the transactions. These differences highlight essential tools for addressing financial strategies in today's markets. Bank financing strategies are evolving, particularly with parallel loans and credit swaps. Parallel loans feature direct cross loans, while credit swaps offer derivative protection, enhancing flexibility and liquidity. Digital transformation at SBI uses AI and blockchain to speed up underwriting and detect fraud in real time. ICICI is leading in sustainable financing by offering green loans that support renewable energy projects. Furthermore, strict oversight of non-performing assets under the IBC is improving credit discipline across banks. Finally, the globalization of services broadens offerings for non-resident Indians and international businesses, enhancing financial reach. As we conclude this lesson, let's recap the main points about long-term financing. We explored key methods of financing, focusing on equity and bond financing, along with their advantages and risks. We also reviewed financial market structures and trends, including the impact of digitization and globalization. International and multi-currency bonds were examined, highlighting their features and benefits. Furthermore, we covered bank financing mechanisms like parallel loans and swaps. Finally, we emphasized strategic investment and capital structure, touching on asset allocation and diversification. You can apply these principles to enhance your understanding in a globalized financial landscape.